Daf Chava, perhaps the most famous daf in the Masechta, as we'll see in Amun Beis, at Amun Alpha, actually. So Gemara says in the Bam of Chav, Haman Beis, the Memra de Eid Nasa Dayan. So we were talking yesterday about Dayanim who saw the moon, and then they served as the Eidim, and they could testify in front of the other Dayanim that they saw the new moon, it's the new month. So Gemara says that could prove that Le Memra de Eid Nasa Dayan, then Eid could become a Dayan. What that means is, Rashi says, the last Rashi on the Amud here, Le Memra de Eid Nasa Dayan, Misha Roy Leos Eid, Bidavar, Nasa Dayan, a person who's fit to be an aide because he had seen the moon, he can now serve as a Dayan, as a judge. Ve'elu kulan ruin lios edim shrei kulam ro. And all of them who saw, they're all fit to be edim, and yet we see that they could become a Dayan. So the Gemara says, Lema masisin delok Rabbi Kiva. Let's say that our mission is not like Rabbi Kiva. How? Because the Tani, the Braisa, says that Sanhedrin shero echad shaharig is a nefesh. If they saw a murder, they witnessed the murder, Sanhedrin himself saw the murder. So what you could have is split up. Some of them serve as Edim and some of them serve as Dayanim. So you're allowed to have an Ed who turns into a Dayan. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Kiva Almer, Kulan Nasun Edim. No, they all must remain Edim. You cannot have an Ed turn into a Dayan. Once you're an Ed, that's it. You can't serve on the other side of the court. The ain aid nasa dayan, an aid cannot turn into a dayan. So here's, well, Rabbi Kiva would not allow the dayanim who saw, who witnessed the moon, they cannot serve as a dayan either here. And so the Gemara says, no, afilu tema Rabbi Kiva, even Rabbi Kiva would agree to hear. There's a difference between a capital punishment and aid de sachodesh. By capital punishment there, he says, ain aid nasa dayan. But by aid de sachodesh, he would allow an aid to become a dayan. What's the difference? So Gemara says, "Afilu tema Rabbi Akiva ad kan lo kama Rabbi Akiva hasam ela b'dinei nefashos." Only by dinei nefashos does he say an aid must remain an aid; he cannot transform into a dayan. Why? The Rachman Amar, the Torah says, "Veshavtu eida v'tzila eida," that the eida is they're going to judge the nidon and they're going to save the nidon. What does that mean? Save the nidon? We don't want to kill anyone. We don't want to implement capital punishment. We rather save the person's life and find ways out. V'chevan dechaziu dekata nafshe, once they witness the murder, there's no way, lo matzi chazu lezuchu, so they're not able to see an innocent perspective. They witnessed the murder. We want someone to be completely objective, unbiased, one who didn't see it, and therefore, by murder, an aid can become a dayan. Aval, when it comes to hacha, this case of a chodesh, the new moon, there's no zechus, there's no vitzila eida, and therefore, afilu Rabbi Kiva mode, Rabbi Kiva would agree and admit that an aid can actually become a dayan, because here's just more of a formality of declaring it's a new moon, not about judging whether a person is guilty or innocent. The new Mishnah tells us now, this is the famous Mishnah. Mishnah says, kol hashofros ksherin, all shofros, all horns on animals are kosher, chutz mishapar, except for a cow, because it's called the Karen. It's not called the shofar, it's called the Karen. So the Rashi just says here, Shu Karen ain't a kari shofar. We don't call this a shofar. The Gabi Yom HaKippurim shofar ksiv. It says in Parshas Emor that you have to have a shofar, Bavarta shofar, Chua. You have to use a shofar for the Yom Kippur, for the Yom, actually not Emor, it's later on, so that's Bahar, I think. So you have to use a shofar, and you can't use a Karen. Now, even though we're talking about Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara learns halachas of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur legabe shofar. So just like a Yom Kippur requires a shofar, so too Rosh Hashanah requires a shofar. And a par or para is not called the shofar; rather, it's called the keren. Comes along with Biyosi in the Mishnah. Biyosi says, "No, v'alo kol shofros niku keren. Just because something's called a keren doesn't disqualify it. Every shofar is called the keren. Shenemar b'mishoch b'keren hayovel. You blow the keren. You blow the keren during yovel. So every shofar is called the yovel. Or rather, it's called the keren. So the answer is, you're right. Every shofar is called a keren, and also it's called a shofar. But a para is only called the keren, and it's not called the shofar. And for that reason, Tanakhama says it's disqualified. Now, there's an interesting discussion found in the Ramban. Can you use a shofar from a non-kosher animal, from a behemoth tamea? The Mishnah says all shofars are kosher except for a para. Why doesn't it say except for behemoth tamea? Maybe one could say a behemoth tamea shofar actually would be acceptable. So he says, why would it be? Why would one think it's not acceptable? So he says, we have a concept that Gemara in Shabbos shel huchshu l'mlecha shemayim ela shel behemoth Torah bilvad. When it comes to making tefillin, let's say, we're only allowed to use that from a kosher animal. So this also considered Melech HaShemayim. A shofar is considered Melech HaShemayim, and maybe you should only be able to use a Behemoth Torah. So he's not sure. He raises the suffix. The Ramah does bring down the halacha. We do not allow one to use a shofar from a Behemoth Temeah. So now the Gemara says further. So what's the idea? What's the basis here? This conversation between Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi about a para. So Shapir Kam and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi had a good response. Rabbi Yossi said, we find every shofar is called the Karen. So just because a para is called a Karen, it's not going to be a psul. So Rabbanan respond back that kola shofros, ikru shofar, v'ikru Karen. Every shofar is called either a shofar, or it's called, and the Karen, it's called both of them. But that of a para, para Karen ikru, shofar lo ikru. Para is only called the Karen. Never do we find anywhere that the horn of a para is referred to as a shofar, and for that reason, Chacham say it's disqualified. D'chsiv, b'chor shoro, v'hadar lo, v'karne re'em karnov. So a shor, an ox, the same family as a cow, so that is called a Karen, but we don't find it ever called a shofar. Rabbi Yossi amar lecha, the para nami ikri shofar. Not true. It's the din is that a para is also called a shofar. Where do you find that a para is called a shofar? D'chsiv, v'seitev l'ashem mishur par. So that's a pasuk describes that with the Adam Arishon, pasuk tell him that he brought a shor par, makrin mafris, that he brought that as a carbon. So what do you mean, mishor par? Imshor lama par. Impar lama shor. The two animals, there's a cow and there's an ox. Was the animal a cow or was it an ox? Was it both of them? Ella, my mishor par, mishofer. So we're combining them together. We're making a drasha that a par, cow, has a shofar. We put the words together. Mishor par is a shofar. That the cow's horns are considered a shofar. That's the drasha of Rabbi Yossi. And Rabban respond back and they say, no, Rabban say, Kedir Rav Masa, Dama Rav Masa, my shor par, shu gadol kapar. We're talking about a large ox that was as big as a cow is, but not to make a drush of a shor par as shofar, and therefore we don't find anywhere, according to Chachamim, that a para is called a shofar. In other words, everybody agrees, in order to be kosher for a shofar, it has to be called a shofar. Do we find anywhere that a par is called a shofar? Rabbi Yossi says, yeah. When it says shor par, that's the drasha shofar, a par is called a shofar. And Rabban says, that's not the drasha. Shor par means a shor that's as big as a par, but not to say that we call its horns a shofar. So then the Gemara says, after establishing that question of a Karen versus the shor, the Gemara gives a few different reasons why we would disqualify a para. So Gemara says, Ula Amar, Hayinu Taima. The reason why Rabbanan say you cannot use the shofar of a para, because Kedir Avchista. Dar Avchista, Bipneima Ein Kohen Gadol Nichnas Bivigde Zav Lifnai Lifnim, Lavod Avoda. We know that there are two sets of clothing that Kohen Gadol wears. All year round he wears Bivigde Zav. If he's doing a avodah outside the Kodesh Kedashim, he wears a big day zav, but if he goes into the Kodesh Kedashim, he wears a big day lavan. He's not allowed to wear gold. Why can't he wear gold when he goes into Lefnai Lefnim? Because Lefi She'ein Keteger Nasa Seneger, because the gold reminds the Kodesh Baruch of the Egel Zav, so you can't use the Avera to bring a Kapara, so he doesn't wear it inside the Kodesh Kedashim. So Gemara says, lo, really, is that not true? So Gemara here as well, since the para reminds the Kavish Baruch Hu of the eagle Hazav, so to blow the shofar of an eagle, of a para, of a cow, would remind the Kavish Baruch Hu of the Chet Eagle, and Ein Kedeger Nasa Sneger, just like the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear big days of in the Kodesh Kedashim, we too won't blow the shofar of a para. So Gemara says, wait a second, velo, is that really true? V'ha Ika Dam Par? So the very avoda of Yom Kippurim, what does the Kohen Gadol do when he goes in Kodesh Kedashim? He brings the Ketores, and then he sprinkles the blood of a par, the dam par, from the cow itself. So we're saying he can't wear the egels of the bikdei zav. It reminds Hashem of the egels of. But what about the dam par? He does bring that into Kodesh Kedashim. So isn't that going to remind the Kadosh Baruch of the egels of? It comes from a cow. So Gemara says, Hov ishni ishni. Since it doesn't look like a cow, it's the blood of a cow, but not the cow itself. It just looks like blood. It doesn't remind the Kadosh Baruch Hu of the Cheder Egel. V'ha'ika Aron v'kaparis v'kruv. Wasn't the Aron, the kaparis, the cover, and the kruv, weren't they made of gold? So isn't that going to be a reminding the Kadosh Baruch Hu of the Egel Zav as well? And the Gemara says, no. Chote bal Yaakov kamrinam. The individual, the Gavra, the Kohen Gadol, he cannot bring something for the one who's looking for kapara. The Aron, the Kaparas, the Kruvim are stationary. They're not accomplishing any Kapara. They're just there. They're positioned there. But for the Chote, the Kohen Gadol, who represents all of Am Yisrael, who sinned, he cannot adorn himself in something that will remind the Kodesh Baruch Hu of the Cheta Egel. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi just says, Chote bal Yakriva ha'odam lo yakrivenu halom shu chatabo. He should not, the one being Makriv, he should not wear anything, adorn himself, anything that reminds Hashem of the Egel Zav. So then the Gemara says, "V'ha'ika kafu machta." But okay, fine. So the Aron of Kaparis is not what he's wearing, but he comes in the Kohen Gadol holding the kafu machta. He's holding a pan of Ketores. He's holding a spoon of rather a pan of the coals and the spoon of the Ketores, and those were made of gold. The kafu machta were made of gold. So here we have, although he's not wearing big days of, he's carrying and holding big days of in order to achieve kapara. So Gemara says, "Chote bal yisna'e kamrinim." We don't want the chote, the gavra, the person to adorn himself, to wear, to dress up, to spit, you know, to slap in the face of Kadosh Baruch Hu, to wear this stuff. But to use these items to achieve the kapara, that's not him dressing up in the gold, and that would actually be acceptable. So then the Gemara says, okay, well, what about ha'ika bigdezav mi bechutz? But doesn't he wear the bigdezav outside on Yom Kippurim? So Yom Kippur is a day of kapara. He should never wear bigdezav at all Yom Kippur. Gemara says, mi bifnim kamrinam. We're talking about only when he goes inside to the holiest place to ask for the deepest kapara. That's why he can't wear bigdezav. But if he's outside, where the kapara is not as high as the level, we would allow him to wear bigdezav. So now the Gemara says, okay, so if outside you're allowed to wear bigdezav, it's not an issue of tegunasa snegor. Shofar nami mi bechutz. Well, isn't the shofar being blown outside? We don't blow the shofar inside the Kodesh Kedashim. We blow it wherever we are. So since it's chutz, just like the Kohen Gadol could wear his big days of bechutz, we should be able to blow the shofar of a para bechutz. And the Gemara says the famous line, kevon dilizikaron hu kibifnim dami. Since the shofar is reminding the Kodesh Baruch Hu of all the things we've done throughout the year, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu should remember us for good, it's kifnim. It goes into a deep place of Kodesh Kedashim, even though it's not physically inside the Kodesh Kedashim, it's figuratively kibifnim dami. Look at Rashi writes here. Rashi writes, kevon dilizikaron ka'asi kifnim dami. It's supposed to conjure up memories of Kodesh Baruch Hu in the deepest recesses of his mind, kivyachol. Shofar nami, shofar as well. Afagav de lesbe mishim chote ba Yaakov, de lesbe mishim chote ba Yisna, kevon dilizikaron ka'asi. It's kibigde kohen gadol shlifnim dami. It says, if it's the kohen gadol going to the Kodesh Kedashim, then we have to be very, very sensitive, and that's why we do not use the shofar of a parah. So after establishing this whole reason, says the Gemara now, wait a second, but our Mishnah said a whole other reason why a shofar of a parah is disqualified. V'hotana mipnei shu keren kamar. So Ula has this whole very nice fancy reason of ain't kategor nasa sneger, but Ula can't go against the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says the reason why it's possible is because it's called the keren, not because of a ain't kategor nasa sneger. And the Gemara says, chada v'od kamar. There are two reasons why a shofar is possible. Chada de'ain kategor nasa sneger, the reason of Ula. V'od, a second reason of the Mishnah, mipnei shu keren, because it's called the keren. Rabbi Yossi says back, the ka'amr is that reason which you said, that's only when the Kohen Gadol goes into Kodesh Kedashim, the high shofar mibechutzu. He does not like this concept that the shofar is considered kilfnim, it's mamish lechutz, and therefore you can use a shofar of a para. And that other reason, the second reason you said, but the ka'amr is mipnei shu keren, call shofar nami iku keren, and therefore I don't think being called the keren is considered a psul. That's all the reason of Ula. Now the Gemara brings the reasoning of Abaye. Abaye says, the reason why I think shofar of a par is possible is for the following reason. Amar hainu taimayu, the Rabbanan, shofar echad amar rachmana velo shnaim ushlosha shofros. The pasuk says, use one shofar, don't use multiple shofros. V'had the para, that shofar of a para, kaven de ka gildi, mischaze kishnaim ushlosha shofros. Because the way the shofar of the para grows, it grows in different layers, and it appears as if you're blowing from two, three, four different shofros, and because it looks like two or three shofros, it doesn't qualify as shofar echad, and for that reason, it's possible. How could Abai make up his own reason? V'atana mipnei shu keren, this is our Mishnah to say, because mipnei shu keren kamar, because the par is called the keren. And Gemara answers, no, like we said above, chadav od kamar, there's two reasons. Chadav, the shofar, echad amrachmana, it's called one, v'lo shnaim ushlosha shofros. And the second reason, avod mipnei shu keren. So Rabbi Yossi responds back, Amr lecha, the kamar is that which reasoning you said, shofar echad amrachmana, v'lo shnaim ushlosha shofros, kevin de mechabre ahadade, chadhu. I don't care if it looks like two or three, the mice, it's one shofar, we know, and therefore qualifies as shofar echad. With the kamar is that reason which you said, mipnei shu keren, kol ha-shofros namuriku keren. All other shofros are called keren as well, and therefore Yossi allows one to use the para, the shofar of a para. So now the Gemara goes into an interesting discussion. The Gemara says, pretty much to the end of Amud Beis almost, my mashma the hayovla lishna the dicherhu. We said in the Mishnah, we quoted the pasuk of b'meshech b'keren hayovel. And there, the yovel, the keren of a yovel, what's a yovel? It didn't mean the yovel of the yovel year. A yovel meant a ram. It means a dichra. Dichra is Aramaic for an isle. So how do you know, my mashma, the high yovla, lisha, the dichru, who said that yovla meant a ram? So Gemara says, the Tanya, Amar Bikiva, kishalachti, larvia, hayukorin, ledichra, yovla. When I went to the area called Arvia, Arabia, or something like that, I heard them call a ram a dichra, and I understood a dichra yovla. It's the same exact word. So we're going to see a series of places Rabbi Kiva went, and he learned certain halacha, certain words from different languages. Actually, a beautiful Rabbi Nachman says that every single language has to have some relevance in the Torah. There's some pasuk some word somewhere in the Torah that relates to different languages, because that gives the language some level of kedusha. If the language did not have any connection to the Torah, it can't have any kedusha. So that's why we have a place in Africa sometimes, you know, totafos, that word is a combination of different languages. We have this concept of different languages having some level of some teaching in the world of Torah. So that was the first one, that was Dichra. Then the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Kiva, Kishalachti le Galia. I went to the area called Galia, don't know where that is. Hayukorin le Nida Galmuda. They called the Nida, a woman who was having her Nida, we called her Galmuda. What's my Galmuda? Gemula Dami Baila. So Rashi, Gemula means separate. She's moved all from her husband. That's what Galmuda means. And Amr Rabbi Kiva says further, Kishalachti le Africa. I went to Africa. Hayukorin le Ma Kisita. Amount of money they called the Kisita. The mind asked me, you know, who cares what these different terms are? So Gemara says, Lufrushe me'aksita deraisa, because the Pasuk says that me'aksita, so what does me'aksita mean? What amount is that? So I learned it means me'a donkey, which means me'a meos, means 100 mouse, based on what he learned from Africa. So then the Gemara says about Rebbe. One time, Amar Rebbe, Rebbe said, Kishalachti lekrachi ayam. I went to different places overseas. Hayukorin lemechira kira. They called selling something, mechira, they called it kira. Am I nafkamina? You know? So who cares that they call it Kira? They took off a letter. The Frushe, to explain the Pasuk, says, Bekivri asher karisi li be'eretz Kanan. So that which I, karisi, that which I bought, Ras Machpela, karisi means mechira, I sold it, I bought it. That's what karisi means. So then the Gemara says, Amr b'shimer lakish, kishalachti l'tchum kan nishraya. He went to this location. Hayukorin l'kala ninfi. They call the kala ninfi. With the tarnagol, they call the sechvi. So l'kala ninfi maikra. What's a pasuk? Who cares that a kala is called a ninfi? What does it help me understand in the pasukim? Yefei nof misos kalaretz. That word nof means a kala, and the tarnagol sechvi. What's the relevance of that? Am Rabbi Yehuda, Am Rava, Vibaysema, Rabbi Yishu ben Levi. Maikra. What does the pasuk mean when it says an eov mishas batuchos chachma o minason lesechvi vina? Who gives a sechvi vina? Mishas batuchos chachma. That's elua klayos. That the klayos of the kidneys give a person a certain level of understanding, a wisdom. And oh, minasan lasech vibina, that's zet tarnagol. So these different words from the different countries and different languages helped understand various psukim throughout Tanakh. So then the Gemara says, last couple lines here, last line of the page here, Levi ikle lahu asra. One time Levi was visiting a certain place, and also gavra lakame, a person came to him, and Amrle, he says to him the following, he says, kavan planya, so-and-so is a kavan. So lahavi yodha my kamrle, he didn't know what that meant, this guy's a kavan. So asa shal be medjasha. He went to base magic to find out what the word kavan means. And Amrulay, they explained to him that gazan amrulach. He told you he's a gazan. A kavan means a gazan. He's a robber. How do you know? Dichsiva hayikpa adam elokim. So is a kadosh baruch hu, is he a gazan? The pasuk in Malachi. So it means a gazan. So Amrulay Rava mi barnish to Rav Ashi. Rava barnish, when he heard this dialogue, he commented to Rav Ashi, I hava hasan, had I been there, had I been Levi and not know what he was talking about when he said Kaban, I would have asked him a series of questions to figure out what he was talking about. I would have said, Hava Minol, I would have said to the person, Hechi Kabach, how did he do this? Ma Kabach, and with what did he use? Ba Ma Kabach, and why does he do this? And Mimela, when he'd answer the questions, Hava Yadina, I'd understand from the conversation what he's referring to. So if Ehu Sabar, but Levi felt that Milsa the Surah Kamarla, he thought he was referring to maybe his Megala Rayos. So he didn't want to know these details. He couldn't talk about the what he'd do, how he'd do it. So he couldn't ask such questions, and therefore, better for him to stay quiet as opposed to probing to figure out what maybe he was talking about. So then the Gemara says, L'havi yadid rabbanon mai serugin. They didn't know what the word serugin meant. The rabbis didn't know. So, Shamua la'amsa de Rebbe. They heard the maidservant of the house of Rebbe, the chazesina l'rabbanon, davu aili piske piske. The rabbanon were coming in back and forth. The house was very busy, in and out, very busy. Amru lehu, so she says to the Talmidim, ad masay atem nichnasin serugin, to when you guys stop coming in and out, back and forth, back and forth. And they understood from there that serugin means like a choppy, it means back and forth. So when the Mishnah there in Megillah Sex talks about serugin, it means a person who reads and stops and reads and stops. That's what the word serugin means. So lo havi yada rabban mai chal lug logos. They didn't know what this word meant. So yom achad, one time, Shemua lamsa devei Rebbe. They heard, again, the maidservant Rebbe. She was a very knowledgeable lady in language. So they learned a lot from her. So one time they heard, dechazes lahu gavra deka mevadar parpichine. One time she saw a person who was busy spreading out the vegetables. And amrulei ad masata mefazar chalug lecha. And when will you stop spreading out these vegetables? So they understood that this meant some type of vegetable. Then lahavi yada rabban mai salsaleha. They didn't know what this word meant in the Pasuk in Mishlei. So Yom Achad, one day, Shamua la'amsa de Rebbe, they heard this maidservant again of the house of Rebbe, the Havas Amri lahu Gavra, she said to a person, the guy was playing with his hair, he was curling his hair. Until when will you stop combing and curling your hair? So they understood the word misalsa meant to kind of curl the hair. And then two more. They didn't know the pasuk meant in Yeshaya. Yom Echad, one day, they heard again this maidservant of Rebbe, to have a Amrit Lechaberta, she was saying to her friend, so, Shikule Tatisa Vitati Besa, take your broom, and sweep the house. So they understood the word Tete Siha meant to sweep. And then finally, the last one here, Lahavi Yadar Rabban, they didn't know the word Maya Hashlech Al Hashem Yehovcha Hu Yikalkalecha. Hashem will throw on you Yehovcha. What does Yehovcha mean? So I'm a Rabba Bar Barchana, Yom Echad, one day have a Azlina Bahade Hotaya. One day they were following a certain merchant or Arab merchant, and Haba Darina Tuna, it was carrying a heavy load on his shoulder. And Amr Lee, so the Arab says to me, Shakul Yehovcha Ushtei Agmalai. Take this mount and throw it onto your camel. He understood that Yehov must mean a masa, must mean a load, a package, a weight. And that's how they understood various things. So you see that the ability to learn certain words from different languages, from different nations, different countries, different people, was quite helpful. So now back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says now, on the bottom here of Chav Vav Amin Beis, as follows. It says, Shofar Sherosh Hashanah Shel Ya'el Pashut Upiv Mutupa Zav. So the shofar that's using Rosh Hashanah should come from a ya'al. What is a ya'al? Is a ram of some sort, maybe? I don't even know what they define it as. It should be pashut, it should be straight, and the tip of it should be zav, it should be a gold mouthpiece. We'll see tomorrow's daf how it works exactly, why it's not a chatzitza. And it should be shtei chatzotot minat stadim. There should be two trumpets blown on the side of it. This is referring to in the base of Mikdash. And then, umarech, shofar marech, the chatotos mikatos, and you blow the shofar, it would be elongated. The chatotos would all start at the same time, but you'd stop the trumpet short, and then the shofar continued to go afterwards. We'll see how the halacha works exactly tomorrow. And then, why do we focus on the shofar? Shemitzvah hayom b'shofar, because Rosh Hashanah, the ikar mitzvah is the shofar, and therefore the shofar is in the center, the shofar is with gold, and the shofar is longer than the chatotos. Ubetainios, however, when it comes to the fast, so here Rashi says, Tainos is referring to, where's that Rashi? Here he said Rashi referring to fast days just in general. The Tainos, he says, B'shel Zacharim, you should use this type of shofar, which is our rams, Rashi says. And Kfufim, they should be curved. U'pim mitzupa kesef, but the shofar should be only with a mouthpiece that are silver. U'sheh chatzotos be'emsa, and there should actually be two trumpets in the middle, and the shofar is on the outside. The shofar is mekatze, the shofar is shortened in terms of the sound, and chatzotos marichos, and you elongate the chatzotos, it should be longer, shemitzos hayom b'chatzotos, because the mitzvah of tainis, the chatzotos are really the ikar mitzvah of tainis, as opposed to the shofar. Rashi explains why that is. Rashi says, shemitzos yom b'chatzotos, why is the mitzvah of chatzotos for tainis? The knufya ba'amaninu, the idea of chatzotos is in order to blow the trumpet and invite everyone to come to a gathering, to come together. And the chol chenufya b'chatzotos, anytime we want to gather people, we blow the trumpets. The pasuk tells us why there are chatzotos in the times of the midbar and in the base of Mikdash. It was meant to be an indicator to alarm everyone to come together together. So the day of Tainis is for everyone to gather together to daven, and therefore chatzotos are the ikar, and the shofar is considered secondary. So then the Mishnah concludes and says, Shova hayovel l'Rosh Hashanah litkia ulebrachas. When it comes to the Yovel year, when they blow the shofar, if you look at Rashi, Rashi writes here, Shava Yovel l'Rosh Hashanah litkia bipshutin, that they should both be the blowing of the shofar on Yovel, Yom Kippur, it should be pashut like Rosh Hashanah. V'yafa gav l'tkiyasa b'Yovel, lo l'tfila lo l'zikron, el l'simen shiluach avadim, even though blowing the shofar on Yovel, Yom Kippur, the year of Yovel, on Yom Kippur you blow the shofar, it was not for tefillah purposes, nor was it any zikaron purposes. It was simply a simon that all of Adam could go free, and Ashmatas Mechiras Sados, and all properties go back to people. In the end of the day, Afil Hachi, Kedir Hashanah Bay L'Mabde, we still equate the blowing of the shofar of Yovel to that of Rosh Hashanah, the Gamrin Olay, L'Gzer Shava, as we'll see in a week from today, how we learn them from each other. That was all the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda, back in the Mishnah, says Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'Rosh Hashanah, token b'shel zecharim, u'b'yovos b'shel yo'olim. He says, no, we use different animals to blow the shofar, and the Gemara is going to explain all of this. So now, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Levi, mitzvah sh'Rosh Hashanah b'shiyom ha'kipurim b'kfufim b'shel kol Hashanah b'pshutin. He says that the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah is to use, and Yom Kippur, is to use a curved shofar and the rest of the year, tainus that take place on the rest of the year, that would be a straight one. Why? So Gemara says, Atzan shofar shurashana shayal pashadu. Our Mishnah says that it should be a straight shofar, not a curved shofar for Rosh Hashanah. So Gemara says, Hu damar ki aitana. He holds, Reb Levi holds, like the following Tana. There's a different Tana that argues in a Mishnah. The Tana, Reb Yehuda Omer, Rosh Hashanah, hayutoken b'shel zacharim kufufim ubiyovos b'shel yo'elim. So he says here, Reb Yehuda clearly holds that the shofar of Rosh Hashanah should be kufim. Well, our Mishnah holds it should be pshutim. So v'leima hilchasak Reb Yehuda. So why did Rabbi Levi just simply say, we pask like Rabbi Yehuda? Why do you have to say this independent statement if he really traces back to Rabbi Yehuda? So Gemara says, I amr hilchasa Rabbi Yehuda. If you pask like Rabbi Yehuda, havamina afilu shal yovel nami Rabbi Yehuda. I would have thought, even like yovel, halacha should be like Rabbi Yehuda, sfirle. Kamash milan, that's not true. We only hold like Rabbi Yehuda, legabe Rosh Hashanah. But legabe, what he holds by the yovel, we don't hold they have to use a yael. We rather hold what our Mishnah says, to use a shel zacharim. Gemara says, now, what's the machlokas between whether or not you require kfufim or pshutim when it comes to the shofar of Rosh Hashanah? So Gemara says, b'may kemithlgi, mar savar b'Rosh Hashanah, kama dekayif inish daite tfei male. One felt on Rosh Hashanah, the more you bend your das, we'll read Rashi in a second, the better it is. Yom Kippur, kama depashit inish daite tfei male. And Yom Kippur, the straighter you are, it's better. And mar savar Rosh Hashanah, kama depashit inish daite tfei male. That one felt that no, Rosh Hashanah is better to be pashut, to have straight, and batanios kama de kaif inish daita tvei mala. It's better to be curved for tainus. What does that all mean? So Rashi explains here, says Rashi, kama de kaif inish betfilasa. When a person davis in his tefillah, panav kvushim la'aretz tvei adif. When a person's head is buried in the ground, it's bent downwards, it's actually better for his tefillah, according to the Tana Kama. And v'hayu ene libi sham. The Hilkach Rosh Hashanah to the Tefila ulahazki Akedas Yitzchak ba'inan kufin. The whole concept of Rosh Hashanah is to daven, to remember the Akedah, so it's better for a person to bend. So the shofar reminds us of the bending, so we should bend as well. And therefore, liyovlos shein likro dror ba'inan pshutim. But for Yovel, the idea is just to send out a message that everyone's free, so pashut, have a straight shofar, is enough, there's no need to bend. But kama the pashut tfei adif. But according to the other opinion, that's better to have a straight shofar for Rosh Hashanah. What's the idea? Mishum nasil avavenu el kepaim. You have to lift the heart up. Hilkach Rosh Hashanah bepshutim dilatfihu. So this machlok is, what should a person's perspective be when he davens? Should it be with confidence up straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or should it be tilted down, bent down? That seems to be the machlokas. Just to finish this Rashi. Rashi says, Hilkach therefore Rosh Hashanah dipshutin dilatfihu. Since it's a dve tefillah, a person's heart should be straight to Shemayim, and therefore you should use a shofar that's pashut. Udiyom HaKippurim nami bishum deshavi b'gzer shava. Ubetainis the knufiyah lo ichbas lan ba'avdin kufin la'keira. So tainis, since the whole point is just to gather, and we don't really care whether it's pashut or kufin, but since Rosh Hashanah are pshutin, then maybe we should have that of tainis be different, just to make it different, just to have a heker be'alma. Okay, we'll stop here, and everybody have a wonderful day.